We have in person Alderman Pope.
Chris is on.
All right. Do we have any citizens' comments out there? All right. No citizens' comments.
Can you hear us okay, Chris?
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Sounds like he's driving. Said he just got home and said he would join in a few minutes.
Okay, perfect. So we've got Alderman Pope along with myself in person, and then we also have Alderman Pocher and Alderman Funkhauser in Zoom. No citizen comments. Motion for minutes for corrective approval of May 4th, 2021.
I'm good.
All right. And then new business, EDC 2021-26 building permit report for April through August of 2021.
Okay, you have to bear with me. There's a lot of information here. In April, we ended up issuing 32 new single family detached homes, two single family attached homes, and then 23 commercial. Total number of permits issued were 253. Mostly for residential housing, which obviously we're buried with it right now. For May, we did 14 single-family detached, 24 single-family attached homes, a total of 188. And you can see the we're kind of trending toward more of the single-family attached. Home plate, it seems like our big builders have all started that. June, we did 16 single-family detached and 24 single-family attached. So we're still following the same trend of increasing from the single family attached. DR Horton opened up a new section out there, or continuation of a new section for the townhomes. In July, we did 26 single family detached and 10 single family attached. That was led by Lennar with a big push for Braintree. That kind of feels like they're trying to build that whole area out and the rest of the year and be done with it, which they're on track to pretty close to this. And then for August, we did 22 single-family attached. That is predominantly led by the new properties that Abbey Construction is doing in Grand Reserve. They have, from what I've been told, is they pretty much sold out all their town, their duplexes there, and the town owns area waiting this for. So they seem to be doing very well. So that was 182 permits for that month altogether. So that brings us to a total number of permits for the calendar year of 1,248 by August.
Wow. Anybody have any questions about those?
Just one. So how's behind Home Depot, how are those going?
Well, summer. Yeah, we just had a meeting the other day. They're opening up phase two, and they want to open phase three and four, or at least work on the roadways with underground roadways. Phase two is going to start next week or so with a security deposit from them. So they are getting going on that as well. So apparently the odd thing is they were really surprised. They're not, if you know the ones that back up that protection area there,
yeah,
they back up to Home Depot, they were telling me that those aren't actually selling as well as the other ones that just back up to the roadway. And he said it's a $10,000 difference in it. Apparently it's a finished basement or not finished basement. And he's like, I'm not moving those like any other ones. Everyone wants to get away from the other ones. So they're kind of changing their interior design a little bit to avoid that. But
okay.
They're selling well.
Alrighty. EDC 2021-27. Building inspection report for April through August 2021.
Alright, April, we conducted 926 inspections. The vast majority of those were all on the single-family detached homes, and the vast majority of those were conducted by our outsourced building inspection firm as a whole. And for May, we ended up doing 904 inspections, and again, single-family detached. If you notice, we're kind of keeping pace for our full-time inspectors. You know, 10 or 15% behind what we're outsourcing to BNF at this point, but we're still picking up inspections right now, just influx of permits we had. And then in June, we did a grand total of 925 inspections. And again, we ended up outsourcing 315 of those inspections. And that's more than we can do with one inspector in house.
So I think can I have you move up to the desk where you're talking? And anybody else that if they're going to present for like more than 30 seconds, that's probably, you might be okay, but
you're a little
over. Yeah. It's yeah. A little low coming through the thing, so I don't know if Chris and Joe can hear.
Here.
Which one's better? Yeah, you might be fine. I think you were okay. Peace was
no problem. In July, we ended up doing 869 inspections. And we outsourced 235 of those. So again, we're staying right around that mark of the 200 to 300 we're outsourcing every month. And then in August, we ended up doing a total of 924 inspections, and we outsourced 250 of those, the rest of them we kept in-house. So that's it for that.
Once in a while, do you get to go behind Roadhouse there where the dumpsters were an issue?
Yes, we have been on top of that. The problem we're having with that she goes by there at least once a week.
Okay.
What happens is they clean it up, and then everything magically comes back. So we write out a warning letter, a notice violation, or leave a door hanger. It's cleaned up, and then within a week, their crews are back up there just throwing stuff back there again. But I'll have her note to go back there just to try to keep telling them.
I try to do it once in a while too. That's why I got her to see what's going on.
Yeah, and I'll have her go back there again this week.
I'll give myself a little reminder. I try to, like, every 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe.
Yeah. No, it is an area where we don't see very often, but we do try to get back there.
Well, I didn't even know it was a problem until the residents.
Yes, that area is a bit of an issue, and it's just because of all those. It's not heavily patrolled by anybody, so people do dump back there.
Okay.
So that's an issue. That was it for the inspection reports for that time.
Alrighty, anybody in Zoom land got any questions on the building inspection report? Alright, moving on.
right? In April, we heard two cases in April. Obviously, we're still operating predominantly based on complaint-based issues. The only one we found liable was the tree at the 206 Eustis. That was the dead tree. We had gone to hearing with that issue, and the hearing officer had told the owner of the property that if he had the tree removed and cleaned up by, I think it was 2 weeks later, he gave him 2 weeks to do it, that he would vacate that $750. Well, the tree was still present in 2 weeks, so the finding of $750 was upheld, and the next day he took the tree down. So, at the end of the day, we got compliance, so that's what we were looking for. All right, and I'm missing my mailing here. So in the next next outstanding liability would be in June. That was the $300 liable for the weeds and grass. That's a property that's owned by an investment company. We've had that problem. It's a problem area, so it's habitual on our list. That 555 Blue Stem Drive. And that was found liable. The other one was weeds and grass also, and that one was dismissed as the property hasn't been maintained and is currently still being maintained. In July, we had a bit of an uptick in complaints, so we have an uptick in inspections and hearings being held. In that one, the Pierpoint Lane, the weeds, that was a liability, and then the Liberty, that was also a weed violation, that Liberty property, when we've seen on the list multiple times, the owner does not feel that they need to maintain that property. And then you'll see again there that the 555 Blue Stem is on there again with another finding liability. And then in August we had 10 cases, and of that, the off-street parking on Eustis, that's the property that's immediately across the street from Circle Center Middle School there, where the people park in the parkway and in their front yard. So they wrote the whole thing up there, and that was an issue that former Alderman Melchewski would always let us know about. So that one, we found them liable. And then the Honeysuckle, which is the, you've probably seen that one bouncing back and forth, that's the property with the cameras and camera on the mailbox and things like that. A lot of the neighborhood has been complaining about that. So that one was exterior properties. That was an issue when they put fence up. They have a bunch of random miscellaneous things in their yard. They also screwed onto Joel's fence to put their temporary fence up without a permit. So that one was found liable as well. And that one, you'll be seeing that one coming forward again in the future. They're a future chronic violator unless things change. From what it sounds like, they don't speak with us, so we don't know. And the Henning Lane, that was liability for weeds and grass. And then the one on Greenfield Turn, that's the roof and drainage, the $300 liability. That's if you're on, what is it? If you're on 71 and you're heading by Country Hills, there's a house where there's it's a tarp that's in pieces and there's a bunch of the roof missing. That's been like that for 2 or 3 years. We initially spoke to the people that own it and they said, no, they guaranteed us they're gonna have it repaired. And then it's been 3 years and they haven't done it, so we started receiving complaints about it. So we finally had to take the hearing because all the complaints we were getting about it, because you could see it right from the doorway. Nothing's changed on it, it's the same. And then,
do these people show up for these hearings?
In general, no. If like, for example, the Greenfield Turn one, if that one would have showed up, depending on who the hearing officer was, more than likely he would have said, just prepare the roof and then they'll vacate. But since they're not there to repair the roof, we don't know. And we did speak with them 3 years ago, and they said they're going to take care of it. They're working with their insurance company, and then nothing's happened. So I can't tell you any backstory on that. And Pierpoint's back on there again with the weeds and grass violation, $300 liability. That's pretty much it. And we also, you know, we also have all the other complaints that were there. We followed up on them.
So each time the same address comes up that's liable?
Yes.
Is that just getting added on top of each other?
Yes, sir. Okay. And that the PD keeps track of that. Once a finding liability has been made, they have roughly a 21 to 30 day time period to contest that. And PD sends them out a notice tells them what their rights are, they can contest it. If they wanted to, they could send a note, they could send a letter and basically we want to contest this. Then they would come back to the, we'd have to take it to a different board and to the courthouse over there to contest it, but no one has contested it. And if they don't contest it after that period of time, the finding becomes, it gets posted at the property and then the police department starts the process of putting a lien on the property. So we let them know they need to pay, we send it to a collections company. If they don't pay, then we eventually leave the property.
Sweet.
That's it.
All right, anybody have any other questions pertaining to property maintenance? May go through August. Okay. EDC 2021-29 Economic Development Report for June through September 2021. Yeah, Lynn has a bunch of reports in the packet. She is currently on a plane, so arriving back at some point tonight, so she wasn't able to make it. If anybody has any questions about any of the contents within, happy to take it. Otherwise, I'll have the report to speak for themselves. EDC 2021-30, Selection of Committee Liaisons. So you have a couple of non-voting liaison positions. So PCC, both for us and for the Kendall County equivalent, for their planning commission. Again, these are non-voting, so this is basically you go to the meeting, you observe what happens, and then you report back.
I think I'm on there. I went to a few of those, and then I was the only one sitting there. So the county boarders are just looking at me. I think they normally go to you guys, right? So.
Depending on the Kendall County?
Yeah.
If there's a mile and a half review or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I noticed that when I sat in the meetings, it seemed like they had communication with you guys.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't know much what I, what, if anything I've learned from that would be, you guys probably knew well in advance of that, so.
Typically, we bring it forth to EDC or the city staff.
Yeah, there was that individual on Route 71, I think, going toward Oswego.
Yeah, he's outside of our.
Yeah.
Right, but I know that they mentioned your names, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I know about that, so. I mean, I can still stay on that little mess on anyone either, though, so. Because he reported me. But you can leave me on if you want. I'm not sure who took mask off. They might have that on me. But if he was chair.
Okay, EDC 2021-31, meeting dates for 2022. Anybody have any questions about the dates?
Good.
I would say really good. Yeah, I think the only one that could be a challenge would be July 5th.
Oh. That's a good point.
Because you've got one Monday the 4th of that.
So people would be off on the 4th probably.
Yeah. Actually, or people could be traveling or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one that jumps out at me.
So yeah, I was going to revisit it too when we get closer.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, good.
Make a little note. Perfect. EDC 2021-32, the Oswego Yorkville Boundary Agreement.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So we'll look this way. All right. For the our comprehensive plan, one of the short-term goals in there was to pursue new and extend our existing boundary agreements in an effort as a best management practice for growth in the area. The proposed agreement extension would take us to 2041. The existing one we had with Oswego's expired in September of this year. We have done this previously. We have extended our boundary agreements with Sugar Grove in 2016. We did Plano in 2019 and Plainfield in 2020. So obviously about 20 years ago, we had been doing this. So it's kind of, we're doing this again. To give you some background on what a boundary agreement is and kind of some of the pluses and minuses of it, Illinois state statute allows municipalities with official plans, such as our comprehensive plan, to enter into these intergovernmental agreements within the mile and a half boundaries of unincorporated lands. You know, it's putting a line marker and saying, this will be our side, this will be your side, when growth happens and we start annexing lands, or when private developers want to develop a piece of property, they know which side it's designated on. Some of the places we don't yet have boundary agreements with are to the south, such as Millbrook and Newark. Joliet to the east, the southeast, is kind of creeping in. And then Lisbon, Millington, and Platteville. These are all places we, Christy and I are both discussing, should we start, after this one, start working on those. So for the most part, these boundary agreements, just to give you some basic advantages and disadvantages, like I said, it was a boundary line to say where things are going to go in the future. Some of the advantages are, you know, it promotes regional planning as opposed to, you know, pitting two people together, two cities together, trying to get a developer or trying to go for a land grab to try and get the best property. It's just a way of saying, hey, listen, like, let's work together because what's good for the region is good for everyone. And it's also a very proactive measure. You know, it's a 20-year span, so it kind of also gives a little, you know, 10 years from now, things can change, which is actually a little bit of a negative. Sometimes if there's certain factors or certain things that happen, you know, you may have to amend the plan or things like that. Also, possible disadvantages. Unincorporated owners sometimes can't choose. If you're on the Yorkville side, maybe you want to go into Oswego, but you're on the Yorkville side and we have this agreement. So it does lessen their chance at that. But overall, boundary agreements, at least staff believes, you know, and we've done this over and over again, is a very positive planning concept to have to make sure everybody knows where everyone's supposed to be. It helps planning and infrastructure and planning for utilities as well. If you know in the future, you know, Yorkville is going to have this area, it makes it a lot easier to budget and plan for having utilities or having infrastructure in that area. So moving more into, it says the existing boundary agreement, but now that it's passed, this is just the previous one. On the second page of the memo, it shows where the boundary line originally was. On the north side, it starts up kind of by Grand Reserve and in between Oswego. These are already developed areas and moves south. It does a jog around 34 to the river about around an existing unincorporated area, follows the river around Salwaki Park, which is actually Oswego Park District. Heads downtown 71 and kind of zigzags to the southeast, eventually getting us to Grove Road, and then heads south all the way to Van Dyke Road. This part of Grove Road as well was part of the Plainfield. That's our exact boundary with Plainfield as well that we just passed in 2020. In terms of like land uses in the area, all that to the south is currently agricultural. Our comprehensive plan calls for that in the future to also be either agricultural or estate conservation residential. Along 71, that Salwaki Park is on Oswego side, and actually on the map we highlighted Hideaway Lakes, which we'll talk about in a second, but that was on our side originally in the original boundary. I'm just going to go over a quick few things. They're all listed in the memo here, but just some other things that not only is it, hey, this is our side, this is your side. It's an intergovernmental agreement, so there are some other things in there. The original document had these self-determination areas. Now on the third page, they're highlighted in purple. These were existing areas that have houses, or it's Hideaway Lakes, that were, there was language stating they could choose either side of the line. If they were ever to be annexed into either municipality, it would actually be up to them. There's language about third-party annexations, about if there is a third party that maybe you're on the Yorkville side, but you want to be in Oswego, you can come to most municipalities. And if both agree, you can amend the agreement at that point. There's language in there talking about improvements to Mill Road. There's language in talking about annexation of roadways, other land planning, the duration of the agreement, things like that are in there. So let's move on to the proposed new boundary, kind of some of the things that have changed and that staff has been in contact with Oswego staff, as well as their government, kind of going over some things. So a couple minor amendments, and again, these are all listed here. If we have any questions on certain, if I don't cover them right away, we can always come back and talk about them. But, you know, we'll be providing new exhibits. We removed the section about the Mill Road upgrade around Grand Reserve, as this is already a planned improvement. It's actually being improved as we speak, some of the improvements there. So we were kind of pulling that out because this original agreement was from 2001. So that's already being completed. We've modified the duration to go to 2041. Most likely December if the schedule stays on course as it is right now. And we did a minor change to personal delivery in terms of notices and things like that. So just some very minor language changes just to keep it updated as where we are in 2021. Major amendments. So the first one you'll see and is on the map there on page 4, the new boundary line. It's very similar to the old one. The only difference is the boundary line now follows the Fox River all the way to the Hideaway Lakes and then comes back up and over to where it was before. This was a request from Oswego specifically that they wanted to have Hideaway Lakes on their side of the boundary. Just as general discussions of staff, we weren't opposed to it. We did ask for language to be put in the agreement stating, since it is like near Yorkville, if it's ever annexed into Oswego, we would get reimbursed if any Yorkville police ever had to make calls out there. If there's noise complaints, we want Oswego handling those things. So there was a little bit of assurance on our side, yes, you can have it on your side, but since it's still very close to us and it's a developed area, we just wanted to have some language in there stating that Oswego would be responsible for some of the more nuisances that could arise from it. And then also in section 4, the self-determination zones in this agreement have been removed. Personally, the self-determination zones kind of go in staff's recommendation is against the point of having a boundary line in general. If you can just pick which side you want to be on, why do we have a line to delineate where things are going? And especially for how many there are, it kind of defeats the purpose of having them. At this time, I believe Oswego would like to keep them in. It's going to be up to discussion here tonight and moving forward on whether or not that's how we want to move forward. So those two are the big major changes, is the boundary line change request from Oswego. We feel that having Hideaway Lakes on their side is fine, especially with the clauses we put in. If we remove the self-determination zones, we feel that's a fair compromise between the two. So for the most part, we as staff are recommending the adoption of a boundary agreement extension with the two things I just said there. We are looking just for input from EDC. If we are still waiting to hear back from Oswego on how they feel about getting rid of the self-determination zones and some of the language. But if everything moves forward, we can post at the end of October for a public hearing at City Council at the beginning of November, hopefully, and then having a December meeting where we ratify it. That could change. That would be the fastest timeline. Also, if there's comments generated here where you'd like to change things, we can send that along as well. So this is just the first step in gathering comments on the agreement itself and the changes.
Just a little further context on kind of the back and forth between Oswego and Yorkville. Oswego's mayor did request Pride Way Lake to be on their side of the boundary line, so that was reviewed by Mayor Purcell. He then requested the language that we put in the agreement about police response and costs. Oswego has agreed to it in concept by the mayor, okay, so the staff is still working through it. And so we don't know if the language that's in the agreement as we drafted it will be acceptable to them due to its simplicity or content or whatever. So that is still a bit of a moving part. Self-determination areas, both mayors, when they discussed it, seemed open to the concept and discussion, didn't have a real strong feeling either way. So the staff recommendation, obviously, is that to the extent that you've got a boundary line agreement, you should fix the boundaries so you don't run into your issues down the road. But the previous agreement had these in there and we didn't have any issues, and all those are built out subdivisions that probably are not going to annex into either town for decades to come. So so that's where it sits.
Ken, Funkhauser, Blocher, anybody have any questions?
So I have a comment.
Okay.
The Hideaway Lakes, I am opposed to that. It's a land grab. I think we can better service it. But I don't know where the FPA is in terms of where Fox Metro has utilities as compared to where we might have utilities, or if it would ultimately go to Fox Metro. But I am not keen on that change to the boundary line.
Just a little bit of context on Hideaway Lakes specifically. We did run this up the flagpole among all the different departments. The staff recommendation was that we didn't see an economic benefit or an operational benefit to having Hideaway Lakes on our side of the boundary line agreement. Even with the renovations that they are currently undertaking and the transformation of the property potentially down the road into a major RV park, we didn't necessarily think that the revenue from the property was going to offset the potential for issues down the road. Additionally, I know when the police had talked about response time out to the property, while technically it is probably slightly more convenient for Yorkville to service the property than Oswego, I think the police chief here in Yorkville would prefer to leave the property either in the county or on the Oswego side of the boundary, just to mitigate any future police issues down the road. So there's a lot going on with that property. Obviously, it's fully transformed into a RV destination yet, but it's on its way. But we didn't think that there was necessarily any revenue to be gained from it, other than some minimal property taxes and whatever sales tax revenue comes from any bar or kitchen or restaurant that they put on the property.
Blocher?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments? They want
to get rid of it. There's no good reason to have it. I don't know why do they want it?
I don't want to put words into Oswego or their elected officials' mouths, but they do see promise in the property, I think, something that I think that they would like to control and develop.
Real quick, too, as I should have mentioned, it does share a boundary with Sawakee Park, which is already, it's not in Oswego, but serviced by Oswego Park District. I think there's some combination there where they see that as being a benefit as well.
Yeah, kind of an extended recreation area. Yep.
Okay, yeah, they can have it.
Currently,
So when something happens in there, do we actually, because I always have the sheriff.
It's in the, right now it's in the county. So the boundary agreement is more so, where is it going to annex in? If the change in the boundary line says they would annex into us, they, Oswego would have, they would, that's where they would go. And that's why we said if they did annex in, the language in the agreement at this time says, you know, if Yorkville ever has to come out there, if we're closest near, we get reimbursed, or if there's noise complaints we want to make, Oswego can get there as fast as possible.
So right now, neither town really addresses any issues that happen in there, just a sheriff, basically.
Only under mutual aid provisions for police response.
Right.
And so, since you have one little disagreement or difference in opinion, how important is that to you guys? I mean,
as
a highway or
no, just the self-determination zones.
Yeah.
Like as you know, Bart mentioned, it's a staff recommendation. As a planner, as a professional. Like we said, let's just, if you want it on your side eventually, let's just change the boundary now where we're doing this, you know, as opposed to, like you said, you could come into complications with the language saying, oh, it's a self-determination zone, we get to, you know, and then you're pitting people against each other again, which is kind of the whole point of the planning purpose of this, is to delineate where everything's going to be.
And so your counterpart there, have you guys talked about this? Is it contentious at all or not?
Not contentious, no. Like I said, I think both elected officials, both mayors, were kind of talking like they're open to both possibilities.
But their staff hasn't talked about our staff.
Their staff's position had been that the self-determination areas, as they previously existed, were okay to carry forward. And so our request initially was, why don't we just get rid of them, prevent issues down the road, but I think the likelihood of it becoming an issue within a 20-year period is very slim, just given the fact that it's an existing subdivision. While they have their own wells, that might be an issue down the road, you know, they're not going to want to annex into Yorkville, Oswego for police protection, assumably, water is the only reason I can think of, and that is probably not going to be a competitive discussion between the two towns over which one would serve the water, is my guess.
Well, to that extent, with the self-determination being removed, can we ask the new owner what the preference would be, which side the owner would like to be on?
The owner has approached...
Basically make a self-determination now.
Yeah, the owner has approached both towns and elected officials, and initially the request was, you know, we're considering developing the property, turning it into a, you know, regional tourist destination, and, you know, we want a liquor license or a permit. You know, they're doing their due diligence on different options, and it basically floated that to each of us, along with the normal development stuff, utilities, you know, but the property is pretty far away from both towns' utilities. The liquor license would go with whichever town annexes it in. And those were kind of the two main, issues.
So is it 20 year, is that a typical term?
Yes. So we cannot exceed 20 years. The last one was 20 years, and so are the ones we've been doing recently. And then as a non-home rule community, we can't go over 20 years anyway.
And I'm sure it's, in your guys' professional experience, it's not likely at the end of that 20-year term in 2041 that we would change it back, right? I mean, once it's gone, right? Essentially?
No.
No, I mean, if it gets annexed in and it's a part of Oswego in 2041, yes. But just like right now, like we're reviewing the line, in 2041 we would also be reviewing the agreement again.
I guess how likely is it for them to give it up in 2041?
It depends on the administration and what growth has happened in the area. So if we have extended our boundaries a little bit more closer to the area and we have utilities there, it's probably more likely that the area would annex to the city and vice versa. So administration and what the goals are.
Okay. So we're kind of at a disadvantage because we don't know what the mayor's going to talk about this.
No, we do. I think the only unknown component of the agreement is whether you want self-determination areas in there or not, okay, which is a negotiating topic between two towns, and the language related to the police response. So, obviously if 6 out of 8 aldermen say, we really want the Fox River Bluffs property, or resort property, and we don't want to give it up to Oswego, that would be a broader point. But I think that we're probably, settled on, we're okay with moving the line for that one property in Yorkville's case, as long as there's a section in there that talks about police response and costs.
Anybody else have any other questions?
So the next step on this, if everybody is ready to talk about this at a city council level, is really a public hearing, which you probably shouldn't do until we have some agreed upon language on those last two issues. For the agreement. So there is a tentative timeline in the memo that Jason and Christy have provided, but I guess my recommendation would be let's button up those last two points and kind of go from there. So I've heard from Chris, who says he does not like giving up Hideaway Lakes, and everybody else was relatively silent on both that and self-determination issues. So if you have opinions on those two issues, it would be helpful to air them now, even if they are going to change later or if they're contextual based on forthcoming information.
I guess I'm not 100% sold on letting it go, just because I think there could be some economic advantages in the future if they're trying to make it a regional destination. Might be nice to have it in the city, right? I mean, Chris, is that kind of your thought too?
Yes, that's what it is. I mean, whenever somebody's trying to make a land grant, which is what this is, they see something beneficial, which is what I see. I do see that there is potential benefit to the next 20 years with the cleanup of the sites and the redevelopment. There's potential that I wouldn't be comfortable releasing because we just don't know what is going to be the benefits in 20 years on that property.
Yeah, I agree. And we know what it's been in the last 20 years, right? So we already know where we came from the last 20 years. So we kind of have a benchmark where we're at, and then it's just kind of an unknown where it's going in the next 20.
Yeah, I can kind of see those points too. Okay. Gives us some feedback.
What else? Anything else you guys need from us at this point on that?
No, I think we'll take your input, speak with Oswego staff and launching officials, speak with the mayor here, and then see where we sit on the final language and whether we want to bring this back up for a committee or a group discussion before we finalize it and send it to a public hearing.
Who is the Oswego final partner?
For
Rod Zenner
is director over there.
All right. Moving on. Do we have any old business? Don't see any old business. Any new business? Additional business? Nothing new unless anything changes.
Just so I know you sent an email about the containers over there.
Yep.
So I assume that's getting worked on.
Yeah. Pete, did we deliver the permit revocation letter for the storage units?
Yes.
Is the property owner cooperating with us or no?
He has assured he's going to cooperate with us. He has been out of the area. He's been on the West Coast dealing with three facilities units there, and he wasn't going to be sending the letter. He said he is currently doing meetings with his engineers trying to figure out what the problem was, and as soon as he's back in town, he's going to come in and have a meeting with Jason.
So our letter said response within 10 days. So yes. Is he satisfied what we asked for, or is it still clock ticking?
Clock's still ticking. As long as, in my opinion, I was helpful with yourself and Christy once we get to the point, but I want to have a meeting and I want to at least have started the plans to remedy it. So at this point, he doesn't have a permit and there's containers there. I want him to reapply with Jason. I want it to be reviewed by Christy and then if you take a look at it and make sure we're all satisfied with that he meets the ordinances exactly before you
approve it. Well, and especially after you guys pointed out that they're already on the border lines.
Yeah.
If you take those, you guys drive in there, I drove in there, if you push them off to where they're supposed to be, there's a whole middle section that I don't know how you would even use it.
Yeah.
Assuming that's probably why he tried to expand the borders is to fit more more containers. So he'll have to lose some is my guess.
Yes.
Quite a few. So that was the only thing that I wanted. Because I did get some people asking me about it.
I did too, yeah. Exactly. The only other additional business, I had a couple people inquiring about the new Great Point building and the maintenance in the parkway areas, the high grass. Are we maintaining that? Because it looks like it's pretty high.
We've done a little bit of work on it. A lot of those parkways, some back and curb areas, looks overgrown, and it is. Will be naturalized, so some of it will look that height, although the plant species will be different, better for the environment. I think they've done a couple items on the punch list for the landscaping over there. They were planning on doing some more over the winter when it's a little easier to clear out some stuff. And there definitely will be plantings and maintenance going on in the spring and the summer of next year. Okay. So.
What about that drainage ditch that's right there?
Same.
Is that all part of that too? Okay.
It
so
is.
We maintain all that, we do all that.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's going to be natural wild prairie grass and whatnot.
Yes.
Okay.
So what about when you get more closer to the building? That's not going to be natural, is it?
No. Anything that's a building pad in the surrounding area will be like our normal city landscape.
Okay.
There might be some naturalized areas, but my guess is there'll be shrubs and flowers and ornamental trees and some of those things.
Yeah, I was still on prairie grass all the whole building.
Yeah. It'll be a little too wild.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, with that, unless anybody's got any additional comments or additional business, we will conclude the meeting. All right, we'll come to a close at 6:49 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
So much chaos when you consolidate all the numbers.
Well, then every day is a month.